from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Marshaverse, starring Marsha Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Skills Hudson, as the problem child.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. It's Midnight in the Marshaverse. Ta-da. And I'd like to welcome you into my lair. For tonight's show, we have a very special guest, an old friend. He's a friend of mine and a friend of the show, and I'm sure he's a friend of yours. Mr. George Wallace will be with us in just a little while. But first, you know, we do our regular ritual, our cannabis and cognac, where we invite you in, you know, like you, it's kind of like, you know, coming over to my house and just chilling, sitting around, and you have, you want a beer, bring a beer. You want to have a bowl of cereal, have a bowl of cereal. I'm going to have some cannabis and cognac like I usually do. And tonight, tonight's drink is Marsha, a caramel mocha Marshaverse, or mocha caramel mochaverse, whatever I call it. It's some hot chocolate and coffee and a little bit of chocolate liqueur and caramel liqueur, because, you know, I'm caramel. And so, and we're going to have, of course, the official cognac of Black people, since now that Trump is president, we have to promote ourselves. We ain't going to get no representation in the White House. So, here's a little, oh, not too much, because we got the alcohol in the liqueurs. And then, to keep it hot, we have a little thermos, unlock it, and pour in the chocolate. Not too much. We don't want to get too happy up in here and lose ourselves. We're going to have a stizzy. We have our stizzy vape with the stizzy cartridge. And tonight it's a premium jack, because you don't just want just a regular jack. You want the, you know, the best jack. So if you are one to indulge and it's legal where you are and you hold in a package, feel free. Join me. Okay. I'm set. How about you? Like I said a minute ago, we have a new president, same as the old president. Thought we got rid of him. He showed back up like a bad penny. And he's running amok. You know, he's like Peck's Bad Boy or Dennis the Menace, grown up, or Eddie Haskell, for those of you of my generation who grew up with Leave It to Beaver. Just the last guy you want in charge of anything is in charge of everything. And he's been passing all kind of laws and executive orders, and people's medicines are going up, and it's just like madness. It's just everything you don't want to happen is happening. And so we're going to have to make the best of it. And I've made my New Year's resolution to not be quiet. Believe it or not, I've been restrained somewhat, not wanting to come off as vitriolic as the people who are happy about this president being in office. They can be very nasty and bullying, and I don't want to get in that way. I just block them and move on. But there are things that need to be said, and I'm going to say them. And so when there's a madman in charge, it's hard to figure out strategies against him because he's crazy. So if you try to think logically, you're going to always be 2-3 steps behind, because he doesn't think logically. His logic is skewed. And so when you're dealing with a madman, and in this case, two, if you count Musk, and he's still pissed off about uppity Negroes and getting out of Africa and all that kind of stuff. So he's got a axe to grind and a lot of money to buy a lot of axes. But Donald Trump, one of the first things he did was reverse the ban he rallied for on TikTok. He's the one who wanted to ban TikTok, and he wanted to do it for the same reason he ran for president. He got punked. He got punked. Barack Obama played the dozens and talked about everything but his mama at the press dinner. And you could see right then the little wheels turning in his little hamster brain. And he decided that he was going to get revenge. His whole previous administration, his whole campaigns have all been about revenge. And so he's out to extract revenge on all of us. But he got punked on TikTok early on. In fact, that's one of the ways TikTok got popular. Was when all the kids decided to reserve all the seats at one of his rallies. And so nobody showed up because his people didn't move fast enough. And so he was apoplectic. He lost his mind and decided right then and there he was going to get them back. That's how he operates about everything. And so he decided to ban him. And then when the ban went through and he wasn't getting any credit for it, then he came up with this scheme and courted all of the tech bros and the cryptocurrency people. And now he's got the banks, the legislature, just about everything that pulls the levers that makes America run, he's in control of. But he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So everything's going to be in disarray. But like I said, he wanted to ban TikTok. And TikTok got popular while we were on lockdown, when we could have all been very despondent and, have faced not just COVID, but a president who threw away the plan to deal with it, who thinks he knows more than the people who study viruses for a living. And he turned it into something like somebody did something to him. So again, he's going to get revenge. He's just not nice. Okay, that's me not holding back. Anyway, he decided, like I said, to ban TikTok and just wait out the virus, especially since the initial news was that it was only killing Black people in major cities. So he doesn't care about blue cities in red states or blue states. He does, and Black people being expendable is okay. So he demonized the whole process and really made things a lot worse than they had to be. But Americans did something on TikTok that nobody planned for. We survived and came together and started having fun. We entertained ourselves. We shared information. We started, people started creating in a way they hadn't done on any other platforms. And it just exploded. And one of the most innocent and happiest times of that coming together, besides the DJ parties, I can't think of the DJ's name, and I'm sure my sons will be able to tell me when they come out. But he was having these wonderful all-night DJ raves online, and then this one woman, Carpool, what was her name? It was something about Carpool. Anyway, she came up with a dance to hers song that was new then. And she came up with this very catchy dance that everybody was doing. It was the As I Am challenge. And people, young people, old people, Black people, white people, all kinds of people, rich people, poor people, they were all doing this dance and duetting it and making videos. So there'd be like 100 people in a collage doing this like little snippet of a dance and finding joy to share in an awful, scary time. People were dying. 1 million Americans died. You know, we forget that. While we were worrying about ourselves and our families and the possibility of long COVID if you survived, and he was saying stupid things about the horse tranquilizers and just, you know, it's going to go away, people came together and shared optimism and perseverance in spite of him and in spite of the bad leadership. And so if we can keep our eyes on that, you know, maybe we can get ahead of this next phase where he has again sucked all the joy out of America replaced it with a kind of dread that I have never seen. You know, I'm not a young woman. And I think the first president I remember, presidential campaign I remember, was I Like Ike. And so I've seen a lot of presidents come and go, but I've never seen anything like this. Nixon was bad, you know, but I was a little girl. So I didn't really see the impact that I see now. And I think we need to, again, find the joy in each other and the value in each other and know that, you know, some of us old people, yeah, we're boomers, and some boomers really screwed up everything. But there were other boomers that were fighting for change. And so they were the ones who were fighting at that time to get to the level where some of them are our most ardent critics, young critics. You started where we got to. So, you know, we were down so low as far as how we were considered, and you know, black codes in the South and Jim Crow, and up north they didn't have codes, but they had the same rules. And there were riots. Every riot in my lifetime pretty much started because of brutality, violence against black communities. And so coming up through that, we had to be respectable just to get enough recognition to start from the bottom. And it is sometimes now the young people, hey, I'm not bothered, we're not going to whatever. You don't understand. They were just getting together on weekends to go march places because they liked hanging out together. It's the only way at their disposal at that time to get those things done. So when you look back at your grandparents and all that kind of stuff, you might want to be dismissive. But if you kind of sit down and talk to them, they can explain to you how things weren't like they are now. And you have the luxury of starting way ahead. And their work paid off. It really did. And it's hard to see that when the propaganda arms of white supremacy are designed to keep you from seeing that. And so this show and me, you know, we're going to try to remind you what life was like when everybody had a dress code. You know, they weren't wearing suits and ties like to go out. You had to wear a suit and tie to go out. You couldn't go to work in an office. If a man went to work, he had to have on a white shirt and tie. If a woman went to work in an office, she had to have on heels and stockings. This was, you had rules that you had to adhere to. And so those things are pretty much gone. We have a lot more freedom of expression. You can wear your hair any way you want to. When afros came into being, people lost their mind. Not just the establishment. Black people lost your grandmother. What's the matter with your hair? Why don't you get your hair fixed? Because it went against what we were expected to be just to get along. And so understand that you have a lot more tools now, and these young people have a lot more moxie. And the only problem I see with young people nowadays is they don't see themselves like their parents and grandparents do. Y'all are just amazing, amazing. And had we had the foresight and the ability to elect someone who represented you, like we had running, this world would have been altogether different. And that's the biggest tragedy of what's going on now. You will be bombarded from now for the foreseeable future with negative images and negative expressions of yourself, and all of the things that we didn't get around to fixing will be magnified. And so you start thinking that you're helpless. You're not helpless. You're amazing. You're strong. You're brilliant. And so keep talking. Get louder. Stay engaged. You have the tools, and resist the urge to sink to their level. They'll beat themselves down there. Stay up. Stay up. And lose the negative images you have of yourself, the negative words you use, the bitches, the hoes, the niggas, the pimps, the thugs. Lose those. You know, in the 70s, we called each other brother and sister. Might want to go back to that. And once you start to feel that family that will find joy in a pandemic while they're surviving, and spread it to people just because it's a good thing to do. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. And don't let people, you know, with the doom and gloom, discourage you or make you think you don't have the tools to deal with this. You will. Trust me. So this is the show. This is the show, and the show I want to do, that tells you that. That says you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. And if you have questions and if you have doubt or whatever, call me. Come on in here. Send me a note. You know how to get in touch with us. Y'all know how to subscribe and send us comments and things, because if nobody has told you just how amazing you are, I'll tell you every day. Good morning. This is Glodane Russell with UGPTV with breaking news. It seems that Aunt Karen, spokesmodel and America's reigning beloved busybody of bland for Aunt Karen Suburban Seasonings and Casseroles in a Can, has died. She was found face-planted in a plate of soul food at Blacker the Berry Eats and Greets, located at the intersection of MLK Avenue and Obama Boulevard, south of the freeway. Coroner reports indicate that the woman who patented flavorless flavors died of an overdose of bliss after tasting well-seasoned food on an empty stomach. However, she was heard by an onlooker to have exclaimed, "Sugar in the grits instead of raisins? Oh my God!" She will be buried in the Public Memory Museum between Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima, the woman whose success inspired her. Her wake will be catered by Karen Brands Incorporated and will feature her favorite dishes: lima bean casserole in a can, potato mayo raisin cabbage casserole in a can, and southern nugget and cottage cheese casserole in a can, with whoopie pie pie with a peanut butter lard filling in a can for dessert. Her family asked for donations in her name to be given to Rich People R Us, her favorite nonprofit, for attendees to her service to wear her favorite color, clear. From her official charity organization, Cats on the Counter, quote, "In loving memory of Aunt Karen, whose casseroles continue to bring comfort and joy to our tables, taste the love and legacy of flavorless faves in every can. May she rest in peace." I'm Glodane Russell, signing off.
Well,
We're back. And our condolences to all who love lima beans in a can. Right now, I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. My nipples are hard and you can't find it. Anyway, I'm going to introduce my friend and a gentleman I've worked with on many occasions, and I am happy that he has big news, and I'm so happy for him. Would you welcome my guest, my friend, Mr. George Wallace. George Wallace.
Good morning. Good morning. First of all, I don't know what to say. First of all, I think I should let you know that I love lima beans in a can, frozen out the box, burned out. And
you probably like liverwurst too.
No way. No way. I don't even like whatever we used to call it. Used to come sliced. We called it something.
Braunschweiger.
Oh my goodness, that's terrible stuff. I don't like any liver. No way. No how. My
hat liver is, with avocados? You don't want that?
Marcia, can I say this before I say anything else?
Yes, sir.
I think your monologue was awesome. I think you talked for 20 minutes. I could never do that, Marcia. Congratulations, and I commend you on being able to do that, and I learned a lot, and I think it was wonderful. I don't think I could do that, Marcia, for 20 minutes.
Oh, you could do that. Of course you can.
No, I can't. I'm just looking. I've gotten older, and my diction, I don't have, my diction is gone. I'm very concerned about me in the future. Yes.
Now, we age, right? We're not young, but the whole secret is don't get old, George. You know, keep that spirit that keeps you on stage doing an hour and a half and
hold on. I want y'all to stop lying on me about me doing an hour and a half on stage, okay? Y'all got to stop saying I stay on stage. Now they're concerned whether it takes me longer to eat or longer to get off stage. Y'all got to stop that.
Or get off the toilet.
That's pressure. I got a rock. You know, the toilet
seat. Okay. Getting up ain't easy. Remember that song, Breaking Up is Hard to Do? Getting up is hard to do.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
But, George, yes, when are we going back out on the road?
I'm back out on the road for a few. This week, I'm in Addison, Texas, and I'm out because, you know, I love my ladies. And this week, I'm out with Jennifer Holliday. And I just thought tonight something would be a little different. But me and you are going back out. Sometime.
Right.
I'm going to be off the road for a while because we're introducing my new TV show that we'll talk about when you.
All right. Yay. Okay. And, but you're going to, you say you're working with Jennifer
Holliday.
Okay. Oh, she's going.
And that's with two L's, believe it or not. A lot of people don't know that. Jennifer Holliday.
Okay. So she holler.
Yeah. So she's doing them. It is George Wallace with a friend. And she's doing a few songs. It's just great. I want to do something different to see how, you know, I experiment all the time. And and people are having fun. And I'm having fun.
Well, good for you. As long as you're having fun. And we have to talk about what you just mentioned. You have a sitcom. You have the distinction of starring in Norman Lear's last production,
and we started this project about 7 years ago, and I wanted to do something that everybody else was doing a few years back, and that was that rebooting TV shows. So they rebooted everything but my favorite show, Sanford and Son. So, and we all know Sanford and Son. Basically, I wanted to reboot it. Basically, Marcia, I just wanted to hear I can sing that for another 5 minutes, and if there's no lyrics, I could.
I just want to put in, you know what was before that was hiccup-brr. Remember that?
I don't.
You don't remember Bill Cosby's show that had Quincy Jones write the theme song And it's going to get some brackets and some rolls and some grease mouses.
See, that's what I like about you too, Marsha. You have so much history. Anytime you talk about anything, you know a lot about it. Oh. I watch you. If you know, backstage in the room sometime, you're articulating on some subject matter, and we're like, wow. Because I haven't forgotten. I never learned it.
you run circles around me. Anyway, tell me about your show.
I wanted to produce this show. I said, well, let me go to Norman Lear, because I've known Norman for years, because I did his first show, one of his shows. It was called 704 Houser Street. It was myself. Actually, it was John Amos, and I forgot his wife, but Jennifer Lewis was my wife, and it was the neighbors to All in the Family. 704 Houser Street. And I said, let's reboot Sanford and Son. He said, well, not really. That's one show I don't want to touch. But if you go back and get a twist, maybe we can do something. So I left 7 years ago, and I went to lunch with a friend of mine, and his name is Dan Ewing, who helped me write my two books, Laugh It Off and Bullet Twit. And so we were talking about some other friends, and we were talking about people with sexual preferences. A thought went up in my head about Sanford and Son. What if I had, let's just put it like this, let's make it Sanford and Daughter. What if I had a son? My mom died at 16, and I took off and went to New York to be who I wanted to be at college. But at this time, something was very popular in the climate, American climate. And so what if I had a son that left Mobile, Alabama? We based the show in the South. Old black man like me, take care of his family, and just worked all the time, making sure there's food on the table. But what happened was my son left at 17 and went to New York, and we didn't speak for 23 years. And he emails me, and I still got an old computer because I'm way behind time. I'm just like Sanford and Son. Everything's old in the house. He emails me and says, Dad, I'm coming home tomorrow. And that's as much as I know. And I tell the whole neighborhood, my son is coming home tomorrow. And next day, ding dong, and I go to the door, and the most beautiful lady you've ever seen in your life is standing there. And I says, oh, Miss Lady, I'm not buying any Avon today, nor am I buying the Watchtower. And it's not a good time to be here because my son is coming home. And we go through a little back and forth. And then she says, Dad, it's me.
And we go to commercial.
That was the scene. I didn't know what was going on. And my first word, I think, was three words was what? And of course, my daughter is played by the one and only Laverne Cox. Yes. So this collaboration, Laverne Cox, George Wallace, Norman Lear, is going to be a great moment to show.
Yeah, that's a full house right there.
Clean Slate. The house is called Clean Slate. Everybody can get a new start in life. My clean slate is, I don't understand what the hell just happened to me. My son goes off and comes back a daughter. I don't understand. I don't get it. But you know what? I'm willing to be educated. This old black man is willing to be educated. She doesn't know about me. My rules are still the same as when she left the house. And she's got to adapt to that. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. Not in my house. You're just a mess. I can't take this. Go ahead, leave. You're good at leaving. Get out of my house. You've been gone for 2 or 3 years. Get out. And then I'm educated also on the spot by my next door neighbor and my wife's best friend, Thelma Hopkins.
Okay.
House is getting bigger.
Love Thelma. I've been working with Thelma for forever. I can see why that choice was made.
Thelma is my Aunt Esther. So you see what's happening here.
Fish had food.
And the two of us, you shut up. You shut up. You don't tell me what to do. At the same time, we're the best friends. So It's a story to be told, and it's a real story. It's something, especially in this day's climate and dealing with the new president and gender and all of this. And we're going to deal with it, and I'm going to be educated, and I want America to be educated with me, with this production that Norman Lear, he never touched anything that was not controversial. This is very controversial at the time, and I know people are going to love it. Some people are not going to love it. Some people, I'm going to have to deal with the churches. Yeah. But I'm waiting for the churches too. So much goes on in the churches. I don't think anybody can tell me anything because we're talking about love right now. And love trumps all. That's all I want to hear. I grew up as a black kid, okay? I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. When I wrote the back of the bus, not many people you know, Marcia, wrote the back of the bus. But I did, and I've been discriminated against. I think discriminatory practices are worse than murder.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of territory to mine on that subject. What's it like working with Laverne Cox?
Well, listen, you know, she's an actress, and she's won awards and Emmy nominated and all of that. And just amazing to work with her, and it's just great. And the show was basically put together, and now this season is more about her life right now, not what she's going through, and I'm dealing with that. But working with her is just fantastic, and she's Laverne. She's who she wants to be. Now, let me tell you what I did learn. One great thing about her, she demanded before she took the role that a third of the employees on the show be from her community. That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of blacks.
Okay.
And guess I was so educated, some things I didn't know. You're talking about a clean slate. People from her community that I did not know about. Of course, we had a two-hour class on, gender relations.
Gender identity. Class,
the pronoun class and he, him, her. It was a lot, Marcia. It was about 60 pronouns in there. And after the meeting, I'm still stupid. I just told everybody, I really don't, and I don't ever want to be wrong. I don't ever want to offend anybody. I want to call, I want to be a nice person. I don't know some of these terms, whatever you want to be called, but I'm just going to call, when I say you know, you know who the fuck you are. Right, I'm talking to you. So, but I did learn that, and I just learned, most important, Marcia, I learned something about myself. Laverne's, makeup and hair and assistant are people of her community. And I just thought I'd never seen a man with a beard and big hair and boots and a pink miniskirt on at the same time.
Okay.
So, but guess what I learned more than anything else than being surprised? This person is doing their job. They're doing a good job. Just more than good, Marcia. More than good. The best.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? This is great. Seeing people enjoying what they do and having fun. And I just love it. I just cannot. Ooh, just want to say.
Living out loud, you know, and that's the, I've been going through some similar stuff. I just realized how oppressive growing up gay was as a black girl. And it hit me when I was on the road doing a show and I'm waiting to go on and I'm hearing all these homophobic jokes and, and just, you know, and the whole, you know, they're the whole religion thing that I don't describe to, but everybody else does. And it just solidified some things in my own head that is not just about the larger society. We got work to do in our society with I love the sin, I hate the sin. And everybody knows that, yes, there are gay people in the black community and you want to find them, go to church and look for the keyboard player or the choir director. You're going to find the gay people. I mean, everybody knows that. That's every church you go to. But we're still supposed to, as people told me about Luther Vandross after watching his documentary, that we're supposed to not even be gay dead. We can't be gay alive, but we can't even be gay dead. It's like, yeah, that's a secret he should have kept. Why? It should never have been a secret. And so these things are still relevant and they still need a little, finessing, a little hair grease on the scalp, you know, a little love in the application of understanding and compassion. So I'm sure it's a wonderful show. I'm sure y'all put the funny in the real. And where can people see it?
Well, it's going to be on Amazon.
Stream it. And
Amazon, and it's going to be February 6th. It will debut all 8 episodes. You can watch everything at, and I must admit, I am shocked at what I saw. I mean, you know, when you're shooting it, you don't know what you're doing. They say, Marsha, they say, okay.
Yeah.
They say I did a real good job. I can't say that. I after watching it now, I do love what's happening. I do love the stories. And it's already translated into every language in the world. That's pretty good when they do that up front.
Yeah.
Like I said, this was started 7 years ago. Then we ran into COVID, and then we ran into the strike. And then we ran into Norman Lear's death.
Never too late. Everything happens in its time. And so this is the right time.
Yes.
And we're looking forward to that. And I congratulate you on getting this show. I'm happy for you, and I hope it takes off and is as wonderful as you know it is.
Well, thank you so much. And I tell you what, I've been paid already for part of the second season, but we don't have a green light yet. It's just for a hold, you know. And and just like all good friends say, and we hope to bring you on one of the episodes and have some fun with us. I have so many friends. You know, I have so many. You know, we have so many great friends.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of friends. I mean, acquaintances.
We know a lot of people who want a job. That's what you're trying to say. This is true.
We can't put everybody on the show, but some of our friends that need to be on the show. As we talked about Thelma Hopkins, when I first started this show, I wanted to be, I wanted to fight with Lunell. And I brought Lunell in. I brought her in to be my neighbor. And we went back and forth with the casting crew, and they wouldn't go along. And I couldn't fight for her at the time because I was not Red Fox. Like, he insisted that Esther be on this show, or one page, or I don't know what he said. If she's not on the show, I'm not, but he really fought for her. At this time, I'm not even sure about my acting abilities, you know?
Okay.
But I want to...
I think you can relax. I think you can relax. Yeah, so, if you ain't got it now, you ain't going to get it, but you got it now. It's okay.
Listen,
but
go ahead.
Since we're doing this family show, I want to bring my family out. I haven't talked to you. You know my sons. And so I want to just bring them out.
I'm not sure I do know your son, Marshall. Let me meet your son.
Okay, well, both of them. So it's family time.
Hi, and welcome to Stephen's 2-Minute Rant. And I've got a very good rant for you, well worth it. I was at dinner the other night, and I was sitting in my booth, and I looked out the window, and across the street, what should I see but a sign over a storefront that said, Puppies for Less. Puppies for Less? Puppies for less what? For less good care? For less care at all? Like, puppies for less? I am so against selling dogs and puppies because we don't take care of the ones that we have for free, and you want to sell them, but now you're selling them less. You're giving away puppies now, which is what we want, but you're breeding them to give them. Oh my God. No, absolutely not. Stop with the selling of puppies, but don't put them on wholesale. You get a discount puppies, you get a discount owner. No puppies for sale. I know somebody want a designer dog. You want the teacup, you want the bow-legged, you want all that stuff. You know what? How about we make you a teacup? How about we make you bow-legged and put your nose so that you can hardly breathe? How would you like that? Or make your make your children like that. How about that? No, we say no, right, Egbert? Come here, Egbert. Egbert, come here. Come here. Say hi to the people. Come here. Come here. Come here, right up here. Hold on. Right there. How could you sell him for less? He's worth everything. You can't sell him for less. No. please adopt, spay and neuter your animals. And this has been a 2-minute rant by Stephen and Egbert.
Welcome, Stephen. How are you?
Hi, Mom. Hi, George. How are you?
Hello, Stephen. So you really do have a son. That really is surprising.
He looks just like me, doesn't he? I mean, he looks like his dad, too, but I don't know. I think he's got my eyes. Anyway, they have another family member. So let's see him.
What up, famo? This is Skill from the Street. It's 9:10 in the morning here in Vegas. And I'm headed to the store. And if you can see back there, you see a worker that's getting ready to punch her clock. Just leaving the store right there. Don't have a name on it. I don't know what's up with that, but it's open. I'm just leaving there, and I was kind of a little upset because I went in there for some hot sauce. They didn't have any. They had hot sauce, but they had hot sauce that black people don't use. The lady gets on the bus with her baby, and the driver told her she had to get her baby out while he driving. She started snapping on him. She was speaking Spanish, but English also, but was snapping on them in Spanish and English, little curse words that I'm not going to say as much, but yeah, letting them have it. Then she calls the police on the phone. Then he goes over the monitor. I'm on the loudspeaker on the bus and say, hey, everybody going to have to get off the bus because I got my supervisor or the police coming. So I'm about to request a lift.
Hey! And so, hi, Skills. Hey, turn your mic on, boo. I can't hear you.
Can y'all hear me?
Now Hello? I can.
What up, GW?
Hello, Skills. Have I met you, son?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, it's good to meet you again. I didn't know you was Marsha's son. I would have been nicer to you had I known you were Marsha's son.
If you've met them before, you just, it's okay now. I understand.
Where did I meet it before then? Y'all so sure I met you, Skills? Tell
on
me.
On this show. They've been here the whole time.
I have never met this guy on this show. I've been on this show with you twice, and I never met him because I would have known.
Well, this is a lookalike then. You met the lookalike. Anyway, you heard our conversation. Stephen, what do you think about the premise, about the show, about whatever you heard?
I'm excited. I'm totally excited. And I, so Thelma Hopkins.
Yeah.
Love her. So what is the first episode going to be like? Do we just meet everybody? What happens in the first episode?
Thelma leaves Dawn and then she ends up in Oz.
We're introducing everybody on the first show. I'm being introduced to everybody's being introduced to everybody. I'm being introduced to my child.
Yeah.
And my child is being introduced to her older father that she grew up with, and I become a different person, and so has she. And she's going to be introduced to the entire community that she grew up in and trying to get back into church. It's going to be amazing, the first show, and you have to watch it to see how far we can go with this story.
Your wife, her mother,
Patricia, she died.
What's that relationship like, and is she your Elizabeth?
But it's my mom's life. My mom died when I was 16, and so that's the part of that story. She is my Elizabeth. That is so good, Marsha. I already shot the show and I forgot to. I'm coming to see you, Patricia.
do we see her in flashback or?
You see her in some photos on the wall. That's basically it. But okay. Right now you just introduced. I'm coming to see you, Patricia.
I'm coming, Patricia.
Thank you so much, Marcia. See, as much as you can write or they can write, you still miss something every now and then. But, you know, we got a second season. We can...
You know, I got a little Mooney in me. You know, I got a pen and we'll travel.
Okay, I have to ask another question then. Did you do arthritis?
Well, you can see that as I'm walking.
You should have a drawer full of these.
You didn't do the real seven. I got a drawer full of everything else, though. You know? Okay. I got it upstairs in the attic. And you'll grow with us as we go along. And you go, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. You will grow in the show. And in 8 episodes, I would prefer to have had you introduce one episode per week. But you can just binge on this and be done. And
it's a whole new world. We've seen everything from black and white TV to digital.
They have these two kids of yours. They don't know what black and white TV is.
Wait a minute. You've got me a lot younger than you think I am, and I appreciate that, but I absolutely remember black and white TV.
But do you remember the piece of cellophane you put on the TV to make it color?
No. Green, yellow, and red.
Well, George, I thank you for staying up late with us and visiting with us, and I hope, you know, I wish you nothing but the best. I know you don't possibly have enough money, so I hope this show makes a whole lot of money.
Marcia, it's a pleasure to be up with you. I'm in New York City. It's going down to 4 degrees this morning, and it's cool. Marcia, it's your weather. It's Chicago weather in New York City.
Chicago weather. And so I recommend you get a banana hammock. Ask Stephen what that is, and it'll keep you warm.
A banana A banana what?
What I say? I said a banana hammock.
I don't know what that is.
A banana hammock.
Oh, hammock.
Google it.
Oh, hammock. I didn't hear the word hammock. Okay.
It's like a sock on a G-string. Let your mind take you wherever you want to go.
Well, I'm wearing the pins. Is that close?
That's close enough. That's close enough. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We're so glad to see you. We're so happy for you. And we want everybody to look for you on Amazon.
On February 6th.
On February 6th. Y'all binge watch the show and then come back and binge again and then tell all your friends and have a watch party on TikTok while it's still up. and do the dance.
We got a new president and everything like that, Marcia.
And tell everybody to watch George Wallace. He's come a long way from the purple Lincoln that I think he had when I met him. And you should send me that picture. Send me a picture of that car.
I'll send you a picture of it, okay?
It's going to okay, so I can show everybody that I wasn't lying.
Nephews. You're my nephews now, you know? Okay?
Yeah.
They family.
Okay, real family. And don't ever hurt your mom. If you do, you're going to see me. How about that?
All right.
Yeah. Well, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, Marcia, because my
love you back
does not require your permission. I'm George Wallace. I'm in the Marciaverse.
All right. You take care and come back anytime.
Don't say that I did Arsenio Hall one time. He says, come back anytime. I showed up the next day.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Night.
Hey, was that fun or what?
I gotta tell you, he could literally come on every week.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm glad he came on tonight. You know, it was nice to talk to him. Our second show back from our second season. So that's nice to always have George, you know, to have George in our pocket so we could call on him when we need to. And I'm excited for his new show. I hope it, you know, takes off for many reasons, especially, you know, Stephen, I think you can relate. Those of us in the community are always going to appreciate people being willing to at least entertain those type of subjects, even if they don't understand them. And it's okay to have a show that says, I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and have Laverne and people that she has said hire, educate everybody and just be normal people. Right. So I think it's a good thing for the country. It is a good anecdote to the law, the executive order that was just signed that there's only two genders. Nobody said there were more.
this is where
the spectrum of what's in that gender binary. Yeah.
This is where we as entertainers, you know, cannot be defeated as long as there's, you know, the Constitution, is that we get to say the things that we want to say. And he can say there's only two genders or whatever garbly gook he wants to say, but we continue to have the conversation and continue to introduce people like Laverne to the world. Yeah. And their children can make up their minds.
And that's what they don't want. That's the whole thing behind all of the laws and all that kind of stuff.
I'm a product of Sesame Street on PBS. My relationship with Black people started with Gordon and Susan.
Yeah.
And it was a huge influence on me. A huge influence.
And I was too old for Sesame Street. It started when I was 15, 14 or 15.
Yeah.
But the idea that it was an inner city stoop, pretty much in the beginning, made a difference, you know, and it made a difference to a whole bunch of generations.
Right. And then right after that came Electric Company with Morgan Freeman and Rita Moreno and a cast of other people who didn't look like me. And it was just, and then there was this amazing show called Via Alegre, which was spoken in Spanish, but for white kids. Amazing.
Okay. Well, you know, we have the tools and the talent. And like I said, I think that young people and old people, but young people can get discouraged when nobody is championing them. Nobody is standing in the background going, I'm so proud of you. Keep it up. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You are amazing. Yeah. And our interactions, we're not trained to that. We're trained to, you're an asshole. You're an idiot. What the hell? Get off my page. Kind of interactions. When what I see, and I love social media, and I love TikTok, and I love some of the creators. I love featuring them. I find them just amazing is not enough of a word. And so I think we have to normalize the acknowledgement of who these amazing children are. You've had, your friends have had, my friends have had, my families have had, my family has had, and let them know, baby, I'm right here. If something I can do, let me know. If you want to answer to a question, I got you. I might not have it, but I might be able to tell you where you can get it. And just be there for them, with the vision. You know, we have the ability to remember things, that they we'll only read about in history books.
Right.
And so we can sometimes make them a little more human and make them understand how special and how powerful they are. If women knew how powerful they were, this all would be over. But we've decided not to tell them. If Black children, if minority children were shown their history, we'd be an unstoppable force. And this is why they want to censor it. That's why, you know, we might not have the, I mean, you know, we are the chitlin circuit of the internet, the digital world, you know, but if we can reach one or two people and say it's not like that, you know, and show them something else, and we've done our job. I have questions. You know, I have a question for you every week. And most of them come from the internet where I see these arguments. People, I mean, really digging in on stuff. And this week, one of the things they would probably get lost in the shuffle, was I was seeing this fight about emasculating men and black men, but all men, that a lot of men feel that women can emasculate them. And so my question to you is, do you really believe that a woman can emasculate you without surgery?
Well, that's, but see, you got the joke in there, you know what I'm saying? Saying about the emasculating, like, actually, like, you saying, oh, you allow a woman to be able to make you feel less of a man by how she act or what's name. And some men do act like that. Me, no, and I don't feel like a woman can emasculate me, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm comfortable that I'm a man, you know what I'm saying? I'm comfortable letting a woman be a woman. Or whatever, you know what I'm saying, you want to be, I'm comfortable will allow you to do that, and it doesn't affect me. It's not going to, a woman can't make me feel, because I say it like this, being that I grew up with a lot of women, you know, I'm more humbler and more, what's the word I'm looking for, listening to women and listening to the ideas and wanting to go that route than to thinking that, oh, we got to do it with force, or we got to do it like this, or we got to, you know, it's got to be friction, it's got to be masculine, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Steven?
Yes.
What do you think about women being able to emasculate men?
Do you remember the TV celebrity therapist Iyanla?
Yes.
Okay, so she had her own show on the Oprah Network, and she was helping this couple, and this woman just browbeat this man constantly and would mock him and veto him and just not allow him to have any real say in the house. And Yanla said to her, the way you emasculate this man, there is no way he could give you what you want because you have taken all his power away by the way you treat him. So when I hear you say emasculating, I guess, yes, you really can't emasculate somebody without castrating them, I guess. But I think the point is that they're making, I don't necessarily agree with this point, but the point that they're making is that certain women will not allow men to be their full male selves.
Well, why is that male? Why is that?
Well,
male?
I don't know. I'm a gay man. I was emasculated at birth. emasculated. So, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, there are some people who are more mild-mannered and meek and whatever and want to not be the assertive, dominant person, decision maker in a relationship. And I don't know that that's gender specific, but we have assigned those gender norms to people so that if you don't naturally fit them, you are somehow emasculated. And if that happens, it has to be somebody's fault and not that you just, I would rather for you to make all the decisions. I would rather for you to be the strong, assertive.
But the point, the example that Stephen was using, that is not to like your point. That is not, that's being humiliated. So if you're being humiliated and, you know, that's a different, wouldn't that be a different stipulation to, you know what I'm saying?
Turn it around. He is the one who is, you're no good. You don't do anything. You're not. Shut up. Go sit down. Is he effeminating her? I don't even know if there's a word for that. Is he somehow taking her power away? We have assigned these roles to people based and called them gender specific, but it's not. It's just how people are wired. Some people lead and some people want to be led. And in a lot of situations, the submissive person can be the dominant person in reality, in their submission. So, I mean, why is it labeled as masculine and feminine and not just gender? I mean, just personality traits. And you know, if you're a submissive man, look for a dominant woman.
Well, that's a separate question, because the question was, can you emasculate somebody without surgery? And so figuratively, yes, you can. And I know you, well, we already know your opinion about it, Mom. We know
how you're still a man. If you're a man who likes to be dominated, you're a man who likes to be dominated.
The guy in the example did not like it. And anybody who's been in a relationship knows that you can start out one way and end up a different way. And that you can
be emasculated or just not able to extricate himself from this person.
Well, you could also change the word from emasculation to just browbeat to death. You know, you could
say disrespected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's my question. We assign gender roles and we assume, because if women understood that men and a sizable number of men believe that you have the power to take their masculinity with a look, with a word, do you understand how powerful you are? This
yeah.
is why I came up with the sapphire spirit, because when you make the stereotype that these women, these angry black women, they're sapphires, they're not submissive, they're not feminine, they're not, you've just given these women so much power. And if they stepped into that sapphire, which sapphires are often more rare than diamonds, but we've also demonized them. And so if you step into that sapphire spirit that they've already given you, there's a tremendous amount of security you can have, knowing that people think you can take their manhood with a look. I find that amazing.
Okay, skills, go.
I'm not saying that.
Anyway, y'all ruminate on that for until next week, because we've come to the point of the show where it's time to wrap it up.
Next week.
Huh?
I said, you don't take my masculinity to next week.
Yeah, well, you know, it's up to you to find it. You know, I think it's right at your fingertips.
Well, Mom, we both know that you have a bigger dick than us. So, I mean,
well,
I have
speak
several.
For yourself.
But
speak
that's
for yourself,
not the point.
Excuse
the
me.
Point is that I think...
speak for yourself.
Don't turn that light on no more.
I'm sorry, Skills. Did I emasculate you?
I think that you're perfectly masculine, and I would never think to try to diminish you in any way, either of you. I am your biggest fan, and I love you both, and thank you for being here. Where will you be working this week, Stephen?
This week I'm at LA Comedy Club all weekend long at 8:00. I'll be featuring for Latin comedy king Alex Raymundo.
Tell Alex I said what up.
I will. I definitely will. And
okay.
Then the January 20th through the 26th, you can see me in Reno, Nevada at the Laugh Factory.
All right. And Skills, my problem child, where are you going to be?
First, I would like to say... shout out to Breeze for looking that up about making me sound so well. He didn't make me sound. I was singing. It's so hard. But anyway, because I'm going to miss the 99 cent store, and I'm glad that I didn't have to roll over that feeling with TikTok. I'm glad TikTok is still here. You know what I'm saying? No thanks to Trump. I'm just thankful for the universe to still have TikTok here. And yeah.
So where are you going to be this week?
Oh, okay. I'm going to be at Jimmy Kimmel this Friday, Show Those Skills Friday, then this Sunday and Monday with Kim Whitley over at Jimmy Kimmel's. And coming up Super Bowl weekend, I'll be in Chicago at the Doubletree in Alsip.
Okay.
For the Super Bowl comedy.
Is that with Damon?
No, it's with Marlon Mitchell.
Okay. All right. Well, look forward to that. If you're in the area, please go see these funny, talented young men. We will all be together in February, the day after Valentine's Day, raising funds.
For my birthday.
All right, then. We're going to be doing a lot. We'll be celebrating Skills' birthday. We'll be raising money for the victims of the Altadena fire. I will be coming out guns blazing. I got a lot of shit to say. Yes. So please come see us. Always remember that Black history is important. You don't have to depend on the education system. We have resources. We can share information. And please, Black history museums and sites. Why you got that bottle of Miss Butterbur? Is that for your civil rights cornbread? See, you did. I'm gonna spank you. Anyway, make sure that you honor. Get that fucking buttermilk. Anyway, I'm glad it's empty. I remember to museums, art museums, galleries. There's so much history. Bookstores, restaurants, with so much history that we can share and stay ahead of the game. And remember, you're amazing. Send us, if you want to, your stories, your family stories, anything you want to tell us. You want to tell us about something wonderful in your life. You're having a baby. Your mom's moving back home. You found out your grandmother was Abe Lincoln's cook. Whatever it is, share it with us. We'd love to put it on the air. Like, subscribe, comment, come back again. We love talking to you. Y'all take it easy.
She got a way, no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. Get down, she gets back up again and again. I'm talking about Marsha.